Somebody once told me, the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. Hey now, you're an all-star. There are some questions that I've gotten quite often in my life, especially in more recent years, like, how tall are you? Often accompanied by the ever popular, do you play basketball? Now, I find this kind of funny because I don't go up to a midget and be like, so do you work for Santa or Willy Wonka? Oh wait. Oh, I couldn't place it before. I know what you do. You make cookies in that one tree, don't you? I knew it. So I have to say, no, I don't play basketball. It takes actual skills, like Manuel or, you know, some of those other talented people. You can't just be tall. But depending on how my hair is cut or which way the wind's blowing, there's other questions that I get quite often. And last year, somebody asked me, they said, is that a scar on your head? And I simply replied, yes, I got attacked by a shark. It was traumatic. I was young. I don't really remember it very much. But let me tell you, no one has probably had to get as much counseling as I had to fly over the ocean again. Now, obviously, that's not true. But, you know, I figured it would just be something funny to get people distracted so they'd forget about the question, because if you tell a story over and over again, no matter how good it is, it gets old after, like, the thousandth time. But I didn't think anyone would believe me, because, let's face it, I'm a horrible liar. But this year, just before Christmas break, someone came up to me and they said, now, Chad, this might seem like a strange question, but have you ever been attacked by a shark? No, I was hit by a UPS truck. I was like, I thought that was last year's joke. Where did that come from? They said, well, I was sitting in class, and we were watching this video about schizophrenic people. Oh, this is going to be good. And they were talking about how schizophrenic people have problems with their wrists. And someone said, that's what Chad has. And someone else piped up and said, no, he got attacked by a shark. Oh, boy. So my options are schizophrenic or shark attack. As far as I know, neither one happened, but if I'm schizophrenic, who knows? But a couple weeks ago, I got by far my most favorite question, and I'd like to take a special moment to address this question. Because it was just so unique and so special, and it really came, I think, from a deep place in this person's heart. I was sitting, I think it was at lunch, I don't really remember, and they said, Chad, why does your hand look retarded? Well, I've thought about this for a long time, and I want to answer this question for you, because I think it deserves an appropriate response on the same deep emotional level that you gave me the question on. So, let me see if I can come up with the right words. Because it is. What was that? Is that not enough? Okay. When I was 4 months old, it was discovered that I had sagittal synostosis. And that's, yeah, it's pretty cool. My head was growing forwards and backwards, but it wasn't growing out to the sides. So I was becoming some sort of a, I guess you could say, hammerhead or something, which I thought would be cool. You know, it's like, oh, you need help with that nail? Let me get that for you. Bam, bam, bam. Apparently it's a bad thing, though. And so the doctor said, okay, we got to do surgery. So when I was 4 months old, I got cranial reconstructive surgery, where they took my scalp and they cut it from ear to ear, peeled it back, and broke the bones of my skull apart and reformed them with titanium plates and screws. Yes, it is nice. It is nice. I don't set off metal detectors, though. That's another common question I get. However, when I was a year old, the neurologist diagnosed me with a severe case of cerebral palsy. There was this neurological problem in the left side of my brain that resulted in the whole right side of my body being underdeveloped. And the doctor said I would probably never be able to talk, and if I could walk, I would definitely never be able to run. And as I'm sure most of you parents know out there, for my parents, that was quite a blow. And so immediately they started doing everything they could to try to prepare me for whatever life I was going to face. And so there were several things that became normal, commonplace for me in my life that a lot of people probably haven't experienced. I would go to physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy. My parents were teaching me sign language because they didn't think I'd be able to talk. And I had to wear these electrodes on my right side at night. And this was an interesting experience because I actually slept with a fanny pack. And for those of you who like fanny packs, good for you. But you probably don't sleep with yours on, I'm guessing. And so he'd put this little unit in there, and you plug in your electrodes, and you get them out of the fridge. They're kind of wet and cold, and you stick them on your legs, on your arm. And then you go to sleep with these little electric impulses going into your muscles, supposed to stimulate them or something. My problem was that I tossed and turned a lot in the night, and so these electrodes oftentimes would kind of run off and not really stay where they were supposed to be. Which, you know, so every morning you're like, oh, okay, where'd the electrodes go today? And sometimes it wasn't that exciting, but if one happened to land up on your face, that was an interesting way to wake up, you know? It's like, good morning, rise and shine. But by far my favorite thing was my custom orthotics. I had issues with my feet. My right leg is shorter. And so every few months I would go in, they'd cast my legs with that like wet plaster stuff. Really fun. And then they'd cut it off and they'd make these hard plastic orthotics. And my favorite part about that was I always got to choose the Velcro. And there were some pretty awesome colors and designs you could get of this Velcro. I mean, there was all the dinosaurs. The red Velcro was always my favorite. But the thing about this was that there was only one kind of shoe that I could wear because of these orthotics. There was only one kind of shoe they could fit in. So from as early as I can remember, all I wore were Converse high tops. I wore them to church. I wore them to the beach. I didn't wear them in the shower, but I thought about it. And so actually, those shoes now are popular today because of me. So you're welcome for that. And I just thought I'd bring along just so you could see the first famous pair of Converse high tops. That's these right here. Yeah. Now, the way you could tell... Yeah, okay. That's what my mom says. The way you could tell when these shoes were ready to be replaced, because they'd get worn out kind of fast, but you wouldn't just throw them out right away because there's the amazing thing called shoe glue. So the way you knew when these shoes were ready to be thrown out was when there was a higher percentage of shoe glue making up the shoe than actual shoe itself. Okay, time to get some new ones. So those I could have worn a lot longer. I don't know what happened. Maybe it's the size. I don't really know. So for a long time, all these things were normal to me. I thought everybody wore Converse high tops, and now they do. But I thought those things were normal. I didn't realize that not everybody got to get these, pick their Velcro out every 6 months. I thought that I was not unique. But as I started to get older, there were some experiences I had where I realized that I had a struggle that not everyone else struggled with. And my first memorable experience with this was in a class I'm sure you all loved, of those of you who've taken it, called keyboarding class. Yeah. Yeah. So I'd be sitting there at my keyboard, you know, having a good time. I'd be ready to type. My right hand would be over here, kind of, you know, doing its own thing. And my brain would be like, okay, hit the I. I'd be like, shh. And I'd get the O, the U, and the 8 all at the same time, which was surprisingly efficient, but wasn't quite what I was looking for. And I'm like, well, that'd be a time for that hammerhead to come in contact. I, shh, you know, get the I. Good, yes. And my pinky was kind of its own little thing. It would just kind of take a nap over there by itself, be hanging out. And then eventually it'd kind of wake up. But it always kind of woke up with a start. Because I'd look up at my screen, and instead of seeing a semicolon or an apostrophe, I'd see my cursor flying down the page. I'd look over on my keyboard, and there's my pinky dancing on the enter key like a chipmunk on caffeine. I mean, what are you going to do? So when I got to the end of that class, as a good friend of mine would say, I knew that I had failed. And of course, this would not be the same person who asked me why my hand was retarded. So, but I looked at my grade and I had an A. And that's when I realized that I was receiving special treatment, that I wasn't normal, and that people were treating me differently because of a struggle that I had. And that started to get hard. You know, the cliche question comes up, why God? Why me? And a while ago, I came across this verse in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. God's talking to Jeremiah, and he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. In some versions it says, I chose you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Now that's hard for me to understand. If God knew me before he formed me in the womb, then why am I like this? Or why did he choose me? And Jeremiah had the same struggle. He, in verse 6, Jeremiah says, ah, sovereign Lord, I do not know how to speak. I'm only a child. And when I read a verse like that, I would think, this can't be talking about me. God can't be meaning me. You know, going through PE class, I couldn't run. And I struggled. I began to want to be somebody else. I would go into daydreams where I'd think about what it'd be like, you know, to be really good at sports or be able to do this, or I'd think, what if I was just more like that person or like this person? But then I always ended up coming back to reality and realizing that it wasn't me, and I would just be disgusted with who I was, and I couldn't be something different. I got to this place in my life where I would kind of assume that, you know, people probably didn't want to be around me or didn't want to talk to me unless they took the initiative, that it was just they were just being nice to me because they felt sorry for me because I was different. You know, if you hear the word all-star and you think of what we know as of the best of the best, you'll have like the NBA all-stars. You're like, these are the best of the best. Or my personal favorite show, Survivor. You know, you have the Survivor all-stars, and that those are the people who've done the best and we're bringing them back. These are the best of the best, you know, and we just had the Pro Bowl last weekend, and, you know, the Super Bowl is tomorrow. Go Colts. And they're saying, you know, these are the people who have made it the furthest. They're the best. And you look at these people, and they're good athletes, or they're the best at this. But if you look at the people that God chooses in the Bible, he says, these are my all-stars. And you look at that group of people, and you're like, what? Because there's people like Gideon, people like David, and people like Jeremiah. When God found Gideon, he was hiding. He was scared. He sent him out against an army with only 300 people. He didn't pick Gideon because of his battle tactics or his amazing skills or courage. He picked him because he said, I can be most glorified through your life. God's all-stars that he picks are not based on their talents or their highly developed abilities. God chooses people based on their willingness to serve him and to give him control of their fears and their weaknesses. You look at David. Yeah, David was good with a sling. He had had a lot of practice. Maybe he could have taken Goliath down by himself. He could have done that anyway. But what made him God's all-star was not the act of killing Goliath. It was the fact that he stepped out in faith and said, even though no one else is willing, I am. And yet I can look at those people and say, I'm not nothing like David. David was a man after God's own heart. That's not me. And Jeremiah says that too. And in verse 7, God responds to Jeremiah. He says, but the Lord said to me, do not say I'm only a child. You must go to everyone I send you and say whatever I command you. You know, Jeremiah felt inadequate saying, God, I'm only a child. I can't speak. And God says, don't say that. Go and say whatever I command you. I came to a point in my life where I felt a calling on my life. I felt like God was asking me to serve Him. But I'm like, God, how can I do that? I see other people, and you hear people up front saying, use your talents for God. He's given you these abilities and these desires, and that's so you can use them for Him. And I would say, oh, they can't be talking to me. I don't have talents. I don't have abilities. I've gotten so focused on what I am not that I forgot what God had given me to be. We all have shark bites in our life. We all have things we think disqualify us. But we have been chosen by God, who knows exactly what we are and what we don't have. He knows who He's choosing. This week, we've heard lots of good messages. We've heard about how God says, just use my power. And how He has this unique master plan to rescue us. How He understands me personally. But maybe you're sitting out there saying, that can't be talking about me. Because I have this thing in my life that I struggle with, this pain, this disability, and that can't be talking about me. Say, yes, God, I've heard this. It's good. Yes, but. In Proverbs 16:3, it says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. Now, I've read this verse before, and I've really struggled with it because it's like, okay, my plans aren't succeeding. But I forgot about the first part of the verse because if I commit to the Lord whatever I do, my plans will not be my plans, but His plans. And that will be what's succeeding. If I really want to take what I've heard this week and really apply it to my daily life and really be used by God in the way that He has chosen me for, I have to say, God, junk up my plans. Take what my plans, I'm saying, okay, God, I know I have this weakness. I know I have this thing I struggle with. And so, I'm just gonna wait, you know, we'll take this slow. I'll wait for you to say, okay, here's something you can do. Here's a strength. I'll wait until I can see a strength that I have. And that's my plan, God. That's how this is gonna work out. And then I can follow your plans once I'm complete. Once I'm, you know, not broken, not weak. I can still say, you know, God, there's this shark bite in my life. I can only go so far right now. Let's just wait. Let's hold on and let's see where this goes. Yesterday, I realized something. I've always had to deal with this physical struggle. And I found my ways of dealing with it, you know, coping, making jokes or making up stories to make it seem more interesting, because seriously, what cooler way is there to get a scar than by a shark attack? I almost hope I get attacked by a shark someday so I can actually tell that story. Well, no, I guess not. But that's just what this has become to me. It's a story. And I could tell a story. There's no emotion involved with that. But I came to the realization of how much this struggle hurts. How hard it is for me to get up in the morning and realize there's a lot of things I'll never be able to do. Or at least that's what I think. Feel so weak, so alone, so useless, so worthless. And there's some things that I really desire. I'm like, I really want to do this, but I just can't because of what I have. I want to try to follow these plans, but it's just not working out. I'm like, but God, I want to do this for you. And yet it just doesn't work out. Maybe you've heard this before and you said, you know, I want to follow God's plan. You know, I've tried, but just nothing's working out. I'm saying, God, I want to do something for you. What? And you try one thing and you try another thing and it fails over and over again. You say, but I've got this talent for you, God. I've got this thing that I want to use for you. Listen to Him. Have you ever considered that maybe God wants to use your weaknesses for Him, not your talents? Over Christmas break, I was flying back from Louisville, Kentucky. And I was in one of those situations where I just landed at the Cincinnati airport. And my plane had been delayed, and so I knew I only had a short amount of time to make it to my gate. And I had about 15 minutes, I think. I was in one concourse, I had to get all the way to the other. And so I was like, oh, I gotta run. This is gonna be pretty close. And so I got out of the plane, put my backpack on, you know, and I just start running. And I'm running and running, and I'm looking at my watch, and it's like 5 minutes till, and I keep running. I finally got to my concourse, and I could see my gate way off in the distance, and I'm coming up to this moving walkway. I love those, because you can run, and it feels like you're going faster, because you are. Oh, it's great. And I was about to get to the moving walkway, I was booking it, I looked at my watch, and it was supposed to be leaving right then. I was like, oh my, I hope it's delayed by just a couple minutes, because otherwise, all of ran for nothing. And over on the side of the concourse, I heard this insane cackling. And I glanced over there, and I saw this elderly lady sitting on her walker, laughing at me. She was laughing so hard, I was almost fearing for her safety that she might fall off her walker. I would have probably felt worse if she wasn't making fun of me. She said, "That young man looks like an injured ostrich when he runs." I didn't know what to do. I mean, I'm like in mid-run, you know, and I'm like, how do you respond to that when you get dissed by an old lady? I mean, it can't get much worse than that. But I saw that gate and I knew I gotta keep running. And so I was running. I looked back once just to make sure, you know, make sure I wasn't imagining anything. So it's like, how do you make that up? I mean, that's better than the shark story. And so I'm running, you know, I'm running and I made it to my gate and they were about to close the door and they reopened it just so I could get on the plane. And there were some people behind me that I know didn't make it because they were on that same flight and they didn't run. Had I not run like an injured ostrich, I would have been late. I could have stopped right then and been like, oh, I give up. What's the point of living? I just got dissed by an old lady. I just want to sit down and cry for a minute, you know? But I kept running. That doesn't help your self-esteem. So often, in our lives, we'll have these experiences with God, these good experiences that make us want to go, make us want to do something for Him. And if you picture your Christian walk like a baseball field, okay, we're like, all right, there's first, I'm going to run to it. But I get out here a little ways, and it gets scary because I can't run. If any of you have seen me running on campus, it does look a little funny. Okay, it's hard. And I could get out to first base, and I'd be like, oh, I don't think I can make it to second before, you know, I get out. I'm going to go back. Let's try this again. God, give me a minute. I need a breather. Now, for those of you who know baseball, in a game of baseball, if one of the teammates makes it out to first base but doesn't score, that might count in their stats. Something might happen. You know, they'll get a little mark and be like, oh, that person made it to first base. Good for them. I don't know baseball, so that's not the technical term. But if they don't make it home, it makes no difference in the game. In Philippians 1:6, God says, or Paul says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He wants to take us all the way. He says, I'll hit the ball out of the park, you just run. If we go back to Jeremiah, though, he says, okay, I knew you before I formed you in the womb. It doesn't make sense. He says, and Jeremiah says, I'm only a child, I can't speak. And God says, don't say that. Go and say whatever I command you to say. But the real promise comes in verse 8 when God says, do not be afraid of them. For I am with you, and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. A couple Thursdays ago, it was the 18th anniversary of my surgery when I was 4 months old. And I wasn't very aware of it, but I was getting some really bad headaches. And a long time ago, I used to have seizures from time to time. And sometimes, you know, it was scary. I knew when they would come on sometimes because I get these headaches that were really bad. And I was sitting in my room. I was trying to think about my week of prayer talk. I was trying to type, and my eyes were just hurting. And I was like, I was really worried that maybe something was going to happen and, you know, nobody would be there. And so I tried to find some water. I was going to lay down. But before I could, I just blacked out. And I remember thinking for a minute, you know, oh, this isn't good. But then this picture came to mind where I was laying on an operating table and I felt all alone. I felt like nobody was there. I was scared. And I looked up. I saw Jesus standing there. And it hit me right then that he was there. And there's been a lot of debate why I'm the way I am, if it's because of the surgery or if it was from birth. And I don't know. But I do have an answer that I can give people when they ask me why I'm the way I am. It's because of Jesus Christ. It's a miracle that I'm not in a wheelchair drooling outside my face right now. And I take that for granted so much. Now, I couldn't serve a God who was just there if he was just there watching. But he was there like he says in Jeremiah where he says, do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and I will rescue you. God says, run. It's going to be hard. It's going to be painful. I remember in PE class running the mile. My face would turn purple, you know, I thought I was going to die. I was like, I just hope I die before this is over because it'd be better than, you know, running all the way. And God says, he's not saying it's going to be easy. If you look at Jeremiah's life, it was painful. Jeremiah went through a lot of stuff, but he left him with this promise. If you fall down between first and second, I'm not going to leave you there. I'll be with you and I will rescue you and I will make sure you get home. God, I'm weak. I'm broken. I'm so imperfect. God says, perfect. That's why I chose you. Strong has never been a word that describes me, but I look at God's all-stars, no matter their abilities or their strengths. They did not glory in those or stand on those. I'm standing before you now, weak and broken. But and sometimes I'm ashamed of that. Sometimes it's hard. Yes, but God says, Chad is my all-star. I chose him. I am his rock. I am his glory. I'm the lifter of his head. Like the song says, hey now, you're an all-star, get your game on, go play. He knows your inadequacies, and he knows your weaknesses, and I can't relate to everything that's going on here tonight in your life, and you say, well, maybe you don't know about this, but God does. And He's chosen you even though He knows about that. And in some cases, maybe He's chosen you because of that. God says, I know, because I knew you before I formed you in the womb. Just go play.
To fall, for your presence to fill up my senses. There's a yearning
a lot of different definitions we've talked about this week of things that about God, how He cares about us, how He's going to rescue us. But I'm standing here now and I'm saying, God, I want tomorrow morning to be different. I don't want it to just be about this week, because I know a lot of you have experienced that great experience this week where you really feel God, but that's just the beginning. He doesn't want to leave us there. He wants to take us home. And so I'm saying, God, junk up my plans and show me what you have me to do. God has given a special story that can be a witness to others. And it might be something in your life that you're not proud of. It might be something that you struggle with, but it might be what He wants to use for His glory. For me, I want to stop using my weaknesses as excuses, but instead use them as tools for God. God, I want to say junk up my plans. And I want to mean it. And so we don't want to leave you this week with nothing to do or just say, going out and say, go do something. I want to say, I'm standing here saying, God, I want to do this. And if you guys want to do that too, come stand with me and let's make this journey together. We need each other just as much as we need God's help to do this. And if somebody could get, there's a table back here, if you guys could grab that. We have some resources and some books and things, because if I'm saying to God, junk up my plans, I need to know who I'm talking to. And so we want to challenge the whole campus and everybody here for the next 40 days. Try spending 20 minutes with God. He's done so much for you. He's given so much for you. The least we can give him is some of our time. God, I want to know him better. But the only way I can know him better is by spending time with him. I want to reach out to other people. I want to show them his love, but the only way I can do that is by knowing what his love looks like. And so I just want to invite you now, if you're feeling like you need to take that first step towards first base, or maybe you're rounding first and you're getting scared because second looks an awful long way away, please just come up and stand with us and say, God, I'm taking that step and I'm saying, I want to do this for you. I want to go deeper. I want to pray a special prayer right now for this campus. And if you're trying in your heart and you're saying, I want to do this, but God, it looks scary. I don't know if I can do it. Don't miss this opportunity right now, because it's not going to be easier tomorrow morning you wake up. Unless you're a morning person, even then it could be hard, because the devil doesn't like this. And he is going to do whatever he can do to slow this down and next week say what you experienced last week wasn't real. It wasn't real. But let me tell you something, God is real. And he's there. Don't doubt him. He knew you before he formed you in the womb. Oh God. It has been so amazing to see what you have done here at UCA this week. And I think of that verse in Matthew where it says, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. And God, I just see the potential of this campus to be a light for you that cannot be hidden. God, you have come into the hearts of these people. You are there, right there with them. You're saying, I will rescue you. And we're standing here saying, God, we don't know what's ahead of us. I can't run well. I'm weak. And I don't understand your plans for me. I mean, a worm can't fathom a mountain. But there's this little twig laying in front of me and it seems really big right now. God, please help me to see past that. Help me to see you. Because I know that twig is nothing to you, and you can pick it up and you can say, look what I have for you to do. It's so much bigger, it's so much more than you can imagine. God, would you take us beyond? Would you carry us through? If I open my heart, could I go there with you? For what do I have if I don't have you, Jesus? Nothing else matters. God, please be gracious to us. Show us your faithfulness. I know there's some people out here right now that maybe you're saying, that sounds awful nice, but I've never experienced that. I've been sitting through this entire week and I just haven't felt anything. Yeah, God's faithful. Okay, I've heard that before. God, show them that you've been right next to them all their lives and that you have a plan for them. God, you've chosen each one of these people and you say, you are my all-stars. Be strong in your identity in me because that is all you need to know. It doesn't matter your weaknesses. It doesn't matter what other people say about you. It doesn't matter what you say about yourself when you look in the mirror in the morning. It only matters what I think about you. God, I just ask that you would surround this campus with your angels. You would go out of this place with each person and that you would show us what you have for us to do as we say, God, we're willing, junk up our plans. Because I've got these plans and I've got these ideas and I think, okay, I want to serve you, God, and maybe this is it, maybe that's it, I don't know. But God, ruin me. Help me become humble before you and say, okay, God, I obviously am a worm and I don't know anything. Lead me. Amen. If I don't have you, Jesus, what in this life could mean anymore? You are my rock. You are my glory. You are the lifter of my soul. Lifter of my head. For what do I have? I don't have you, Jesus. What in this life could mean anymore? You are my rock. You are my glory. You are the lifter of my head. Lifter